I get repetitive thoughts that I can't shut down.
Ooh, that's a main characteristic of alcoholism.
100%.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
It is my dream episode and your dream episode too. My co-host, I get to fuck it. It's a dog. You know, that's the running joke on this show, is that I fuck dogs.
Oh, how about that?
It's Steve-O! Fucking Steve-O! The only man I've ever seen in my life that rescued a dog from a third world country and brought it to America, and this dog is inseparable with you.
Oh my god, I fucking love it. Now, dude, the video that I made of finding Wendy in Peru and bringing her home.
I watched all of that. Yeah. I watched all of that. Like, it, go into detail, because I don't think people know, like, this was a straight up street dog in like 100%. Buenos Aires, right?
Not Buenos Aires. It was it was in Peru. It was a little town in Peru called Juarez. And the video that I made of finding Wendy and bringing her home got more views than any video I've ever put on the internet in my life.
Really?
Imagine how that makes me fucking feel. After the fucking links, the links that I've gone to, Bert.
You have videos that keep me up at night. You have met people that keep me up at night. The fucking kid that jumped into the cactus when you burned yourself and your skin was fucking moving around. I think, do you have any scars from that burn?
I see this tattoo used to be real bright.
That's a new way to do tattoo removal.
Yeah, I know. I really burned off that one. It was a controversial tattoo.
How did you burn yourself again with that?
I laid down in rocket engine fuel.
My asshole. Do you know, does your asshole ever like tingle? Like you're drinking sparkling water?
Like it's drinking sparkling.
Like my asshole tingles like it's drinking sparkling. I'm sure Liquid Death is like, put me down, please. This is not the.
It doesn't. But sometimes, like, I don't wipe so good, and I don't know, you know. And my asshole just gets on its hands and knees and says, just scratch me, itch me, and get in deep. And that's how I end up with skid marks, dude.
I have gone finger in my asshole to wipe. Finger inside, you know, my asshole.
And dude, here's how much I love one of my podcast sponsors. Fuck it. I'm gonna just say my tushy bidet. My tushy bidet just like fucking solved the problem, dude.
Why would you wipe with fucking paper like an animal when you can spray fresh clean water? It hooks up right to your toilet, people.
Dude, you know what's fucked up is that every single time I do a read for tushy on my podcast, I go ahead and say, this is my favorite sponsor that has ever sponsored the podcast. Like, fuck the rest of them.
If I had known how much I love interacting with my own asshole, I would have gotten to it way earlier.
Right.
Like, I was ass play. I remember the first chick that asked me to put she wanted to put a finger in my ass. And I was like, that was back when, like, I don't know if you can say this, but like,
you were like, I don't want to be gay. And I guess I still don't. I mean, I don't care if I'm gay. I don't, I didn't even know how to handle this question. I guess I'm not gay, so I'm cool with it. I guess right. I would have been cool with it.
I mean, dude, you're talking to a wild boy over here. I mean, I was like homoerotic humor and like...
Homoerotic humor is my favorite thing in the world. Right, okay. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Right.
I would enjoy being... let me start that all over. I would enjoy being gay more than anything in the world because it may... Whatever it does, it makes me giggle. It makes me giggle.
Right. Like, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. I think that...
It's the concept that people are really bothered by it.
Right. I think that I believe that that's got a lot to do with it. You know, like when we were on MTV and like just the whole like kind of like frat boy jock, like, you know, like no, you know, and just the idea of just putting it in their face. Like, how do you like our thongs? We're wearing thongs and we're just like, you know, like.
It's can I offer a compliment and sure. say that you introduced, you helped. You made better strides in homosexual acceptance with frat boys than anyone ever in the world.
I believe, because that yeah.
you, Jackass really embraced.
We took on homophobia head on.
Chris Pontius
yeah.
is the Rosa Parks of homosexuality.
Dude, like he, oh man,
Chris Pontius probably party boy. And yeah. by the way, Chris Pontius, man, I got to tell you something. Fucking movie
He's
star
the Rosa
good looks.
Park,
movie star
yeah.
good looks.
The Rosa Parks. I love that of homophobia.
He really he was very comfortable with his body. I don't think I've ever seen his dick. I've seen your dick.
Oh
lot.
My God! You've never. Of course, you've
pull
seen
up Chris
his
Pontius's
dick.
Dick.
You're out of your mind.
I'd love to see his dick.
He has this disproportionately large head of his penis, which is like
I do too when I get out of the pool, though.
I'm telling you, like his wiener.
Oh,
is
I have
a
seen
star.
His dick. That's him jerking off on his stomach. Oh, that's. Oh,
dude, you have seen his.
I
dick.
I have definitely
and it
seen
is
his
gorgeous.
Dick. Can you pull up that picture?
I got some secrets to tell you that I can't share at a public level, but oh my God.
Tell me everything I need to know about Chris Pontius. Cause I like that guy. Can I tell you, man, as a guy who over, he has an arrow for a cock.
Well, that's him doing a helicopter.
Okay. So it is, it's a little like,
wait, he's doing
by the
a
way,
helicopter.
Look how much dick is outside of his hand. If I did a helicopter, I don't think I could even get the whole fucking thing out.
Right.
My dick is horrible. Can I show you my dick?
Sure. All
right. I've seen your dick so much, I feel like it's not fair that you don't see mine.
I just got lightheaded. I enjoyed that so much.
What did you do?
I laughed and it deprived me, but I laughed so hard it deprived me of oxygen. I got deprived of oxygen and was lightheaded and I loved it.
I have a horrible dick. Here, I'll just show it to
okay,
you. Are you comfortable seeing my dick?
I'm in, yeah.
Okay. All right. Just don't you show my dick, okay?
This is like Louis C.K. asking to jerk off.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I can't.
No, you can't. Please. No.
They said yes. I've just used my power structure.
But
my power dynamic.
They did not say please. I'm asking. Please. I'm asking, please.
That's the
please
new.
Let
that's
me
the
see.
New. You need to say please. Your
please. Please. You can. Please. Please. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I didn't show that to girls.
Only if they say please.
Oh
my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, we got to reset. Yeah. We got to reset.
Ooh, we're going too fast. We're only 7 minutes in.
Oh my God. I got fucking pit stains. That was so good.
Can I please see your face? I need you to say please. I need you to say please.
Okay. So do you drink coffee?
I do.
Because because I have a ritual. I don't know about you, but I like my coffee really hot. Yeah. I like my coffee really hot. Like I'll make it in the fucking whatever, the Cuisinart coffee maker. Yes. And I'm not hot enough.
Yeah.
So then I'll fucking nuke it.
Yeah.
And then I'll fucking nuke it and keep it in my fucking thermos so that it's piping hot. So it's too hot to drink out of the thermos. And then here's how I drink it.
Oh.
Piping hot.
Piping hot.
Out of a fucking mug that has my mug shot on it. It's a fucking mug shot coffee mug. You kidding me, dude? Steve-O's mug.
Dude. By the way, I thought this was coming back to my dick somehow.
I brought you one, dude.
And you brought me a shot glass.
Dude, it's my first DUI on my coffee mug. My second DUI on my shot glass, dude. Look at what a wasted pile of shit I am in that picture.
This is your second DUI?
Second DUI. That was the one where the arrest report literally reads, defendant declined roadside sobriety tests, stating he would prefer to take a nap.
I didn't know you could say that to the cop. I'd actually like to take a nap before I take this. Is it cool if we get some donuts and some coffee? You guys will like this.
That's your mug.
I say this all the time. You are a fucking miracle.
Well, thank you.
You are a miracle.
And by the way, these incredible mugshot items are available at incredibly reasonable prices at stevo.com. That shot glass is like $9.99.
For real?
Yeah, at stevo.com. $9.99.
How much is the
mug is like $11.99.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, you must be making bang up bucks.
Dude, I think I spoil my audience by selling so much autographed shit that they're like, oh, if it's not signed, then fucking I don't want it.
you know? So funny. I remember the first time I signed an autograph and I was like, this is fucking everything. Because I remember getting an autograph. If you were like an autograph kid growing up.
I loved it.
Remember I got one from Gero Yupremian as a place kicker for the Bucks. And I was like, oh, this is going to be worth something. And then it wasn't.
Here's the secret to how I knew to fucking meet Motley Crue. You've heard the crazy story,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Okay, here's the secret of how I knew.
By the way, Tommy Lee's Greek, sidebar.
Yeah. I grew up, my dad was a wildly successful businessman, and we lived in England for most of my upbringing. But I was crazy into baseball, and I would fly over to the States for baseball camp, which was in Massachusetts. Wow. We would go to like Fenway Park to see the Red Sox and stuff. While we were staying, where my dad would make a point of bringing me somewhere where we could attend a baseball game. While we were staying there, he would make a point of figuring out which hotel the visiting team was staying in so that we would stay in the same hotel as the visiting team. And I would just hang out in the lobby of that hotel getting the players' autographs as they came in and out of the hotel. And I loved that. So when I found out that Motley Crue was coming to my town, I was like, okay. I saw them on the news the day before the concert. And they were on the news because like, oh, these fucking asshole rock stars fucking come into our city and fucking break this and light that on fire. You know, like whatever it was. And I loved it. But the concert wasn't until the next day. So I'm like, oh my God, fucking concert. They're already here and the concert's tomorrow. So that means they're in a fucking hotel. And I'm just like, okay. I'm gonna figure it out. Like I know their birth names. Like Vince Neil is Vincent Wharton.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like it comes with a bow tie.
Right.
Vincent Wharton. Yeah. Here, sir.
Yeah. And Nikki Six, Frank Carlton Ferrano Jr. Right. And I'm.
Wow. And Tommy Lee's Tommy Galifianakis.
I knew all their real names and I knew of course, their stage names. I knew that they were. I just guessed they're not going to check into a hotel under either. Later in life, I asked Tommy when he checked into a hotel. He said he checked in under the name Dixie Normus.
You know, at least Tommy Lee's been brand friendly since the get-go. He's one fucking dude.
Oh, dude.
Like I bet hanging out. He's sober, I think. I know you're sober, and I always get bummed when people are sober. Not you,
right?
You actually. I swear to God, like, and I'm a huge fan of yours for so long, probably 20 some odd years now, is your sobriety was like the greatest sobriety story ever, where you go, oh, that I could do that sobriety. Like, but well, you need to get to where you were, and that was a scary place.
Sobriety is only not a bummer if the like the drunkenness and the drug use was a bummer. Like, I got to be such a bummer with drugs and alcohol that like we needed sobriety to get unbummed.
It's so funny because I remember and what's crazy is like you were amazing to watch in any capacity. Wild Boys, Jackass. Steve-O's, Dr. Steve-O. Like, I watched a lot of your stuff. But what's amazing is you're so much more entertaining now. You really are. And that's a hard thing to do.
I truly believe that that's the case. And there's always someone like, oh, dude, you were fucking funnier.
Fuck that guy. That guy's wrong. And by the way, fuck you. I don't like that guy. Because I know what that guy says to me.
I don't like that. You were funnier when you were on drugs. Like, fucking A, no, I wasn't.
You know what that guy says? Motherfucker, man. You know what that guy says to me?
What?
Yeah, I don't go see Bert. He just is drunk as fuck on stage, takes his shirt off. Hey, fuckface. I don't drink before I go on stage, okay? How you like that? You've never seen me wasted on stage. You can suck my dick, and I know where you live in Minnesota.
Oh, my God. So... I guessed Motley Crue was going to check into their hotel under the name of their manager. And I knew that because my dad with the fucking baseball teams. He would reach out to the management to figure out where they're fucking were staying. That's how I understood it. So I went running to my fucking room and I opened up my tape sleeves because this was the 1980s and I had cassette tapes. Yeah, and I looked in the fucking cassette tapes for the name manager and it said Doc McGee. So I started fucking calling every hotel in the Yellow Pages asking for Doc McGee's room. And then after fighting, and dude, it was even a little bit more involved than, because in the 80s, this was even before they had call waiting, I think. So that means like when I'm on the phone for hours, that means the phone's just busy for anyone calling. I'm tying up the house line. My mom didn't like that. She's like, fucking, you're tying up the house line. And I'm like, Mom, I said, Mom.
That's right.
I said, Mom, I'm calling Motley Crue. and this was the thing. My mom could easily.
I love the sidebar story of this, of your dad looking at your mom and going, honey, the kid's got drive. Now, I don't know where this is going to find success in this world. Maybe it's a doctor. Maybe it's a lawyer. Maybe he'll just throw up a goldfish. And he's like, oh, that's never going to happen.
Right.
But that guy.
I love that you know that, because that was the thing. I was such a fuck up. Like, you know, every report card was just terrible news. There was like my parents were meeting my teachers when it wasn't parent-teacher night, you know, because there was a crisis going on. Like, we've got a fucking problem with your kid. Like, it was just, I was one bad fucking incident after another. And all my dad ever wanted was like, dude, just fucking, you know, apply yourself, man. You got so much potential, kid. Apply yourself.
Find the thing you love to do and just do it. Yeah.
And he saw that in me calling Motley Crue, and he said, honey, to my mom, back off.
Oh, I love your
fucking
dad.
Fucking back off, you know?
Did your dad still alive?
Yeah.
How old is he?
His birthday was a few days ago. He turned 78. And I'm terrified of my dad losing his... present, you know, like dementia. Yeah. I'm so fucking terrified, but dude, he's sharp as a tack.
I would, that seems like a great show to get dads of people in the public eye together to like just have dinner together and just film it. And just the second where they flip, and then your dad's like, my son's Steve-O, and my dad just goes, oh, my son shit on a pizza box to get famous. And he's like, for real? And he's like, oh, we can definitely cheer to our son. He showed his son a dick. He asked, please, to see it. I just think there's such a warmth in the paths our parents had to sit by. Because I'm a dad, obviously, and my daughter quit softball, and it fucked me up. By the way, I was a huge baseball player, too. I would love to have a catch with you.
Oh, dude, epic. All right.
Yeah. And so
my dad had a standing thing. He said, if you fucking break my finger, I'll give you $20. So if I can throw the ball hard enough to break his finger, there's $20 on the line.
My dad was the kind of guy that when in first grade, I ran the 40-yard dash or 60-yard dash, whatever. And I was the fastest kid in first grade. And I came home and I was like, fastest kid in first grade, probably top five in the school. That's the way I talked. And my dad's like, You're never going to be faster than me. And I was like, I don't know, I'm pretty fast. And he's like, well, let's take it out front. And I was like, okay. So I throw all my keds.
What was at stake? Was there?
Just the fastest person in the house.
Oh.
Fingers on the line on the sidewalk, you know, those little indentations.
Yeah.
Look at my dad's feet. He's not even fucking in starting blocks. He's just standing. I'm like, I'm going to smoke this fool. 3, 2, 1. And I pump. Like, you know when you get a good stride and your toes are just kissing the ground and you're like, I am fucking flying right now. And I look over, my dad's nowhere even near me. He's 10 feet in front of me running backwards. He goes, you'll never beat me at anything.
Wow, dude. Yeah,
he's an interesting guy. I love him. I have a complicated relationship with my dad because all I've ever wanted is his respect, but I went about getting it in a way where I take my shirt off on stage and tell stories.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, like, so it's
that pierced me. That pierced me because, like, not necessarily from my dad, but from anybody ever, like, in my life, all I ever wanted was, and when I was a kid, I wanted there's a report card. There was a report card from my sixth grade homeroom teacher, a comment on. She wrote, Steve is like, I think Steve is so desperate for the affection and approval of his peers, but everything he does to seek that affection and approval brings about the opposite effect.
That is a...
I mean, I paraphrased and perhaps what you said. Like, I fucking tried so hard. I was fucking like, in the cafeteria, check it out, everybody. I'll fucking consume the whole salt shaker.
Yeah. I snorted lines of salt to make friends.
Yeah.
And lines of salt. Put a noodle in my nose and had it come out of my mouth.
And I was like, dude, they're going to think I'm so rad. And they were just like, wow, that's really fucking creepy.
there is a fine line. I remember, we were in Philadelphia, and it was a very urban neighborhood. My cousin Abe lived there, and I was trying to get these kids to like me, and I didn't realize the absolute differences between a white kid who grew up privileged versus black kids who grew up in the inner city. And I remember I saw a comb on the ground, and I was like, hey, guys, free comb. And I combed my hair, and they would not talk to me. They were like, he just combed his hair with a comb from the ground. And I was like, what? My cousin Abe's like, why the fuck would you do that? And I was like, I was trying to make friends. How do you make friends? My need for acceptance. And I know that there's a vulnerability, and I think people will mock it because they're like, what the fuck? But it's why I'm here. It's why I'm doing podcasts. It's why I do stand-up.
Sure.
It's why I sit and think of jokes all day long. It's why I think of promo videos so people come. It can be crippling in a weird way.
Let me ask you this. When it was time in grade school for you to get up in front of the class and give like the oral presentation to the class, were you the kid whose voice was shaking because you were so fucking nervous?
No.
Wow. Okay.
I was the kid going, when are they going to get us up there? When are they?
I'm so glad I asked that.
Oblivious to the fact that children didn't want to be in the talent show. I was like, can we go twice? Like, I got fucking so many talents. Like, like when they said, when, I mean, anytime anyone said, this is like almost embarrassing, but like if, say we're at a bachelor party and I barely know the groom and everyone's giving speeches about the groom, all I'm doing is thinking, I got one that I think will work. I barely know the fucking guy. I met him yesterday. And I'm like, actually, I got a funny story. And he's like, who is this? I'm like, man, I like to talk. I am horrible about that. Like if there's any moment, I was just, I told this on stage one time. I've told it before on stage. Maybe I'll tell it in I'm not going to tell it in a special now. So I'm telling it here. But there was a time where, I was just telling this on a conference call too, literally minutes before you came in. There was a woman named, you may want to edit that out. And she was running unopposed for PTA as president. And I knew
Parent Teacher Association.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I knew her. I knew her very well. We used to hike together. Me, her, and my wife and her friends, my wife's friends used to hike. And then one day she just stopped hiking with us and started hiking with and we're like, that's odd. She didn't say anything about it. She just started hiking with but I knew her. I did know her, right? She was running unopposed as for president. And I said, and I'm sitting there. I had to be in this fucking meeting. It's 8 in the morning. I'm hungover. I don't want to be there. I got a fresh cup of coffee in me. And I'm like, who's running against you? My wife's like, no one's running unopposed. And I goes, not on my watch. She's not. I mean, I got an opportunity. I get to talk. Are you fucking kidding me? This is like 5 years ago. And they go, running unopposed is. And I lean back and I go, hey, Steven, nominate me for president. And he goes, you don't want to be president? And I go, I do today. He was like, I nominate Bert Kreischer. I go, I accept. And I delivered the greatest speech that was delivered that day. I can almost remember it. I remember saying.
That sounded a little bit Trumpy.
By the way, this was Trump before Trump, okay? I was trumping.
I gave the greatest speech.
I said, my name is Bert Kreischer. I'm running for president of the PTA. I used to hike with and immediately she goes, I know where he's going with this. And now everyone thinks this is a joke, including until I said this. And she goes, oh, fuck, he's destroying my character. I go, I used to hike with every day. Me, my wife, I used to hike with this woman. You gotta stop saying her name. I used to hike with her. And then one day she stopped hiking with us. She started hiking with. She never called us. She never told us why. We would see her on the same trail over on Fryman Canyon. See her all the time. She never even brought it up. It was kind of odd. Listen, if you're looking for a president who one day will feel like you're not important to them, maybe leave you high and dry and never bring it up, then by all means, vote for her. But if you want someone who's going to meet you at that trailhead every morning for that hike and take this journey with you, stride by stride, then vote for me, Bert Kreischer. PTA president. And the place was like, this guy's got my fucking vote. And she is like, this isn't real. And my wife is crying laughing and she goes, you have to take your vote. I go, I just want to see what she says. And she got up. This is by the way, this is 100% a true story. Like, as crazy, she got up, she goes, okay, first off, they walk really fast. Like, and everyone's like, holy shit. She goes, I talked to Leanne. I never talked to Bert. I didn't tell Bert. And I'm like, I take back my nomination. And everyone's like, I want to fucking vote for Bert. I mean, if I see a stage, I want to be on it. And in moments like that, I remember one time in college, they were the side of the room. It was a debate class. It was like a debate class. And one side of the room we had to have superheroes. One side of the room had to pick. I wish this had been on tape. One side of the room had to pick Superman, on our side had to pick Batman, right? And we were going back and forth, like quid pro quo, like going, batting it back and forth. This is in college. I gave maybe the greatest borderline racist speech about immigration and aliens like Superman coming to our country and taking good, hardworking jobs like Batman to the part... To the part where, like, everyone, the Superman people are like, I don't want to be a part of this fucking team. I want to be on Batman's team. Wow. I was born in America, man. I mean, it was the most moving speech. The most moving speech to the point, I swear to God, this didn't happen, but I feel like it did. That, like, my whole team was holding my body up like I was Bobby Shmurda. I threw my hat in the air. I mean, it was so fucking badass. I love that. I love talking.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I wonder, I think you could make the same argument, though, for, like, that's why America's great, is because we do.
Yeah, if I was on fucking Superman, I would have made that argument. I would be like, he's merely a human. I love a good argument. I love a good argument.
Good.
Like when, not to fight with people, but just like, that's what I think the beauty of being a comic is you take the opposing side of something and argue it back. We talked about Chet Hanks the other day, or like three, four months ago.
He's a real treat.
I can argue why you should love Chet Hanks.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like Donald Trump. He's just pure entertainment.
No. I love whittling an argument that makes you go, huh? Like,
oh, you're saying why you should respect Chet Hanks. Yes. Not just like, because I love the guy, but I don't respect the guy.
Well, I'm not going to do the same argument twice because but I'll tell you what, I believed my own point so much that I follow him on Instagram and he gave a speech that like moved me. And I went, because I was going through some shit. He talked about, now granted it was a black queen in this, is I think it was he was talking about, but it fucking connected with me. And I was like, fuck yeah, man. Dude, the guy's in great shape. He's doing the 60 day for 60 challenge. I don't know if you're following him. I'm like a legit Chet Hanks fan now. Like I legit fucking, but it doesn't take me, I always look for
a Gen X fan? What do you mean?
No, Chet Hanks.
Oh, Chet Hanks. Okay.
I can find the beauty in people that people wouldn't find the beauty in.
Okay.
Like, let's talk about the Jackass crew, right?
Okay.
Who's the guy? I forget his name. He's the guy that had all the beard hairs.
See, that's the thing, dude. I just made a video about why they call me Steve-O.
Yeah. Yeah, someone just sent that to me. They're like, do you know why Steve-O's called Steve-O? And I was like, no.
It's a fantastic. I got to say, I outdid myself on this video.
I love that energy.
I fucking outdid myself. And, you know, I'll just tell you what the moral, at the end of the video, I say, and the moral of the story is that you really, if you're looking for name recognition, it will really serve you to come up with a short, goofy, memorable name.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Bam.
Bam.
Like Wee Man. Even Johnny
Knoxville's not his
Johnny
real name.
Johnny Knoxville's a goofy
PJ
name.
Clap. PJ Clap is his name. Which, by the way, is also a pretty great name.
Which, by the way, is also an STD. Clap.
Dude, high school must have been hard for him.
But yeah, so now here's the thing, and I'm not like disparaging anybody, yeah, but the guys with name recognition, they you just said, I don't remember his name.
I apologize. He's a great member of the crew.
He's the best. I fucking love him. I absolutely love Aaron McGeehee. But why are
By the way, I didn't even know that was his name.
Yeah.
I literally.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, really, I think that anybody on, to prove my point, anybody on Jackass who uses on Jackass the name that's on their driver's license has less name recognition than everybody who came up with a goofy Bam, Wee Man,
yeah,
Knoxville, Steve-O.
What's Bam's real name?
It's Brandon.
I did not know that.
Exactly, Brandon.
And I know a lot about Bam Margera.
Yeah.
I fucking spiral watch. I fucking feel like there's a part of me that is him. There's so much of me that is him.
You just, like, the difference is that you weren't like legitimately famous like before you were a teenager. I think that there's like when you become famous so young. Granted, it was in skateboarding, but like
in skateboarding, and then I mean, Viva La Bam was its own fucking entity. Like Bam was great on Jackass. I would argue he wasn't the best on Jackass, but he was a great ringleader of his group of the CKY kids.
Yeah.
But like him on Viva La Bam was really like a real extension early Viva La Bam. Like when he took it as good as he gave it. And I don't mean to be critical of Bam. I know he's probably in a sensitive place. But like Don, him, all those guys were so much fun. There was his own entity. And then you're right, to be utterly famous. I was with him and Ryan Dunn at an amusement park one day. We were walking around together. Ryan and I were testing for what became Bert the Conqueror. It was up to me and Ryan Dunn. And yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, and so I fucking loved Ryan Dunn.
Dude, how can you not?
I remember
he was legitimately that guy.
He came back from, so we were riding a roller coaster and we were going to do the interview and you had to go in, you had to interview the people doing it, you had to interview the thing, and then we wrote it blindfolded. And then we came back, and then the next guy would go. And so I went first, I come back, and then Dunn was with like two other guys that were from Westchester or wherever they lived that were like with him to hang out. And he said, what's it like? And we'd already talked already, and I told him I was a huge fan and that I knew Johnny Knoxville way before Jackass. And I told him what it was. I told him what the whole fucking deal was. You go over, you're gonna interview this someone. I go, they're going to tell you this there, but you should get your head around it. So he comes back, and his two buddies had ridden the roller coaster with me. Like, they had ridden, and they told, and then they rode with Ryan. And then on the walk back, they told Ryan what I did. And Ryan came back, and he goes, did you ask if any blind people had ridden that roller coaster? And I go, yeah. He goes, did you really ask if anyone rode with a dog? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, wait, you didn't ask any like real questions. I was like, I don't know anything about fucking blind people, Ryan. And he goes, this guy's a fucking lunatic. Like, whatever I did to do the thing, he was like, yeah. And then Bam showed up and he explained my audition to Bam. And Bam's like, the fuck kind of questions are those? Like, I don't know, man. I ended up getting a job. But we walked around the park together, the five of us, really, because it was two of Ryan's friends. And maybe Bram, but I remember people yelling at Bam and Ryan, do Jackass. Yeah. It was such a weird way to get recognized. I remember looking at them and I was like, what is do Jackass? And Dom was like, I don't know, they just want me to get punched in the face, I guess. And I was like, don't do that. And he was like, yeah, I'm not, definitely not doing that. But it's such, and so to be that young, and that's, but I identify with them on like, maybe it's on the booze. maybe I identify with his excuses. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
And sometimes traveling gets tough.
Dude, like I gotta be careful, but I'm just, yeah. I don't know how to be careful. I think that when Bam had his big meltdown, you know, there was like he attacked
his
manager.
One?
Yeah, which one?
Exactly. And by the way, I am a Bam fan.
Right.
Ride or die motherfucker for Bam Margera. His Don Vito was friends with Ron Bennington. Like, I mean, his family roots go really thick into like Florida radio. So, like, yeah. I'm a fucking fan of his.
Mike
so.
Calta, shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Calhead.
I love Mike Calta, dude.
So, yeah, but I'm sorry. I apologize. I cut you off.
All good, man. All good. I was just saying, like, you make a very valid point. Which meltdown? I'm talking about the one which... It's probably the greatest meltdown of all. Like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Where like he attacked the manager at the comedy club, which like he just blatantly didn't even like had sold tickets legitimately at the comedy club, but like missed a show and then like stormed out after attacking his manager. And there's a lot of like disparaging his wife and this and that. There was, I believe that was the same little episode that had an intervention, which wasn't even gotten no fanfare. It was behind the scenes. And mind you, behind the scenes, there has been like moving mountains, like effort. And just nobody knows that, you know?
So, well, I think it was also not fair. And by the way, you don't have to say any of this. I'm saying what I'm saying right now. When you do make, I'm just saying this. And by the way, you can tell me if we want this edited out. I know from my experience, when you make a movie, in order to make a movie, you need to be insured. Your blood pressure needs to be a certain level. Your liver enzymes have to be a certain level. I know this personally for a lot of reasons. And you take drug tests fairly regularly. I did. Whatever. I don't know what is out there or not.
Whatever. But there was a lot going on behind the scenes. There was an intervention. There was even a psych ward. And I don't know the Bam being in the psych ward. I don't know. Like, there was a lot, and then that played right into the Dr. Phil thing.
Then the
doctor, and then there was like with the fucking alphabet. Now we've got this weird alphabet, which seemed like, you know.
Yeah, I think that there's so many things that go on.
But the point is, when I saw that, and the crazy. It looked like psychosis. I think it was really like, it looked to me like psychosis, like this, the manic at this level. I was like, yes, he's fucking got to where I was at.
Yeah. Wow.
He got to where I was at. Now, finally, this will be enough for him to see fucking like what I saw, and now we're gonna fuck yeah, we're gonna, you know,
yeah,
dude, like you can't.
That's crazy. You can't see that.
Oh, dude, go, I'm like fuck yeah.
He's got his own alphabet. I was there. He's writing on his hands. He's on an airplane. I've been there. Are you listening to Blind Melon? I am.
Yeah, he's. I was just like, you can't deny this now.
There's no
excuse. You can't make excuses for this anymore. Yep. Now you got to look in the mirror. You got to see what's going on. You got to fucking do something. And fuck yeah, because it's all uphill from here.
Yeah.
Now he's going to get sober. He fucking, this is bottomed out.
And he got sober.
Like, I beg it.
Perfect.
And the thing was that, like, it's just that, and I'm just dumbfounded. I'm baffled at how, like, how you can reach these pinnacles of fucking rock bottom, you know, like that's what it's a picture of, pinnacle that going downward, you know, like,
that's my problem. I've never reached rock bottom,
right?
I'm doing really well,
that, you know, hey dude, evidently you're on fire. I haven't even gotten around to kissing your ass yet. You're on fire.
I mean, like, I like, that's my biggest problem is that, but my problem is also, and not to parallel this, but I feel like Bam feels at times where you go, I am. The option is this. Sometimes what I find boredom, or can I shake it up with a little razzle dazzle and a few cold beers, you know, where, I know that feeling. And I want, this is going to sound narcissistic. I want to party with him to slow him down and be like, and I know that's never going to fucking work.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
But
by the way, I only just noticed your Whoop band. We got to fucking give some love to them, but later.
Oh, bro, or we'll do it in the ad read. My HRV blows. My recovery last night, I went to my trainer. Can I tell you my problem with boozing? Is like,
are we doing this?
Yeah, let's do it. I bet I way blow your recovery away. My recovery, 16%. My strain, and by the way, I have two strains.
Do you journal every day?
No.
I mean, okay. This is a thing.
My HRV is 24.
Okay. Did you take your anti-anxiety medication?
Oh, you put that on there?
I'm on Zoloft.
And so that asks you if you take Zoloft. Because Zoloft has you hold on to weight sometimes.
I suppose.
Says a chick I dated. I'm on Zoloft. Okay, then I'll get
it. It doesn't do anything whatsoever to, like, change the way you feel. I mean, at least not, like, it's not a substance of abuse.
Yeah.
But if I'm not taking it, I have a propensity to go into really fucking dark places.
Oh, okay.
And, like, when I'm taking it, like, I don't really go to dark places. So that it helps me. You know, I'm not a doctor. I can't recommend Zoloft to anybody, but I personally think it really helps me a lot.
I could probably benefit from Zoloft.
Dude, after I first started taking Medicomedian, he's like, oh, yeah, I take Zoloft too.
Everyone, a lot of people are on.
He says, funniest thing about Zoloft, when I'm taking it, I never think about killing myself.
Well, I don't think about killing myself, but I get repetitive thoughts that I can't shut down.
Ooh, that's a main characteristic of alcoholism.
Clip that out for me and just play that at my funeral.
You can't fucking turn off your mind. It's the disease of alcoholism is centered in the mind. And it's just your mind terrorizes you with just the same. It's like here's how normal people think. Here's how normal people think. They think use their mind as a tool, right? They start at point A with like some kind of present me with some kind of thing to figure out. And they use their mind as a tool to get from point A to point B where something has been resolved and now we're good. We can move on. But the alcoholic mind doesn't really go from point A to point B. It takes something that's sort of disturbing, thinks about it in a circular loop, and resolves nothing. And then you go around the loop again, and each time around, it just builds speed and momentum, and you're resolving nothing. And every time, it just becomes more disturbing and more disturbing, and you become so fucking uncomfortable that you need a drink.
Oh, no. I don't need a drink. I don't need a drink, but it goes fucking crazy like
because,
that.
Because you're trapped.
You go, yeah, but I don't. I'm punitive, so I start going, you're not getting a treat until we fucking figure this shit out.
Right.
And then I get on the treadmill or I work out, and I go, and I'm still not there. And I go, right. All right, well, then we're going to sauna, and then we're going to fucking do some polar plunge. We're going to get our mind off of this thing we're chewing on.
Right.
And maybe it's...
We call that the spin cycle.
I'm definitely spun out.
You know, like, it isn't, you're not always on the spin cycle,
First time it happened to me, I thought, we'll just share everything. I had a one-night stand, and I definitely thought I got genital warts. I definitely thought it. Steve-O, I could not shut that cycle off. To the point where I was going, and this is why I don't drink when that happens to me. I couldn't shut it off because I woke up, and it was almost like this is my face when the thought would come in. I'd be like, stop it. Like, almost like, God damn it. And the thought was, look at your dick. Look at your dick. Check your dick. Check your dick. And it was like obsessive compulsiveness. And then it was like, you know what? Let's take care of this. We're going to get in front of this. Let's go to the store. We'll get some Tenactin. We're going to spray Tenactin on our dick and balls.
What's Tenactin?
It's for fucking...
Is that like for feet?
It's for feet. And so we spray it all. I know I am offering myself up for a lot of humiliation. That is my job. I'm cool with it. And I spray it all over my dick and balls. And I go...
Tough Actin Tenactin
is going to kick this dick into fucking order. And then it got to so bad that I'm like... sitting with my dick and balls in a bowl of vinegar, white vinegar, watching Quantum Leap with a blunt and a fucking 40 going like, fuck it, I give up. And it literally took not one, not two, but three doctor visits for me to believe that I didn't have genital warts. For doctors going, the first one was like, what are you doing to your dick? And I was like, well, I've been soaking it in white vinegar every night for about an hour. And they were like, definitely stop doing that. And I was like, I'm using Tenactin. And they're like, okay, hold on. You're using Tenactin? And I was like, that's not the only lotion and salve I'm using. I found some stuff in Chinatown. I got some stuff in Hawaii that was a root. Like, I was putting everything on my dick. That's not even an exaggeration. That is just the truth. Can I tell you how I got out of it? You're going to fucking... By the way, I'm about to let you in on a secret to our listeners that you've seen me do. You've seen me do it. And I'm a little vulnerable right now, but I don't give a fuck. Every time I thought about my dick, I would say a prayer to St. Jude. And I would grab my thing, I'd do a prayer, and then I'd go... And I would do a prayer to St. Jude. So when I was in a bad spot and I had the bad, you've seen me do this how often, Nadav, lately?
Quite a bit lately.
We've been in a dark spot.
So that means you're thinking about your dick. It's exclusive.
No. I just showed you my dick. This podcast is going full circle in the spin cycle. Yeah. No. I was in a bad spot with pressure. I had a lot of pressure on me and I have been obsessive compulsive thinking about stuff. Health, just it's all health stuff, really. And when it happens, I give a prayer and so that it gets out off my brain. And that's how I solved it with me was by. And I know now people are going to go OCD and prayer. Like there's a prayer OCD connection where people like.
I bet.
Oh, there is. And so I just go, hey, man, these are my nooks and crannies. Like I got weird thoughts. And this is so good when it comes to like creative for me. When I get on a thought, I can't let it go. And I just keep punching it until I find the way to make it funny. And so I don't want to get rid of it, but I would love to never have when the stress builds up in this business, it can just overwhelm you at times right. Where you're like my day today started at 5:30 in the morning.
Damn it, I had the fucking best day. I'm having the best day today.
For real?
Fuck yeah.
Really?
Oh,
what's your day look like today?
I'm doing this with you.
Yeah.
And then I'm recording... a podcast with Corey Taylor of Slipknot.
Oh, I love Corey Taylor. Yeah. I love Corey motherfucking Taylor.
Yeah. And you know, like, it is one of the very few cases where the guest actually reached out to me about, can I get on?
Really?
Like, most of the time, it's like...
Well, yeah, you got a great podcast, though.
Yeah, most of the time, it's like me reaching out to the people. Like, you know, I've got my book or reaching out. But so we got this request, Corey Taylor, like, Ed, you know, like, he'd love to come on your podcast. And here he was on the Burtcast. I was like, oh, okay, well, let me look up the Burt. He's got, like, the best numbers that your Burtcast, like, ever did.
Dude, Slipknot.
I wrote back, yeah, let's do it.
Slipknot's like the I'm trying to think of the right analogy, like the the Bob Marley of the comedian, Bob Marley, like, does huge numbers in Maine, right? Never has to deal with all the bullshit. Like, Slipknot does massive fucking numbers, got a dedicated fan base, and puts out amazing music, amazing musicianship. Like, those guys are next. They're like the Fish of hardcore music. Oh, dude. I got into Slipknot. My daughter Isla and I got in the car. I interview Corey Taylor. I go, I can't stop talking about the interview and it's how great it was. And Isla goes, who's this guy? And I said, you know what? It's cool introducing your kids to music. I go, I'm gonna play some of his music, thinking Slipknot, there's no way my fucking 13-year-old's gonna like this. She's like, I really like this. And I was like, really? Now she's just wearing black. That's all she wears.
Do you have an album recommendation for me? For Slipknot.
No, what I did was I bought the first five songs on iTunes. So I always do this. I go to, like, Jane's Addiction. By the way, Jane's Addiction is a bad one. I've been into a Jane's Addiction fucking phase right lately. But, like, I go to their first, whatever they say is their first five songs that are the most popular bought. I listen to those five. And then I go.
And then you've used up the band.
Yeah. And then I got them. I got them.
Right. See, this is my approach to music. And I don't even do it enough because but ideally, what I fucking love is the way that music, it's music is like a fucking like a disc which you download your life experience onto. So whatever phase you're in of your life, you're listening to a certain kind of music or a certain album. Then later in life, whenever that album pops up, it's going to take you back to that special time, which is fused with that music.
This is a brilliant segue into a great segment called Steve-O, Tell Me About the Music During That Time of Your Life.
Sure.
Okay. I want to go first season of Jackass, season of Jackass, when it pops big, and you're not really bad into drug use yet, but you're partying.
Oh God, I was gnarly into drug use.
Okay,
I'd been a circus clown for the 6 months before Jackass. My last day in the circus was my first day shooting Jackass.
So, what music were you listening to when you were in the circus? Like, what you would listen to a lot?
I had my favorite fucking thing was this compilation album of trance music.
I definitely went through a trance stage.
Oh my
I
God.
I definitely went through a fucking.
Yeah.
I can tell you where I was in a car. I went through like a whole fucking phase of that. Like, is that EDM ultimately?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That whole fucking phase trance. Of that 120 beats per minute, like trance music. Like, I went through a huge phase
of
like
that. It's like that song, like Sandblaster. So good.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Were you going through ecstasy then too?
I definitely enjoyed
that. I was doing a lot of ecstasy.
I don't remember ever regretting taking an ecstasy pill.
I do one time. My buddy Ari slipped it to me. I was 48 years old. I had high blood pressure.
I think maybe there was one time I regretted it because the fucking thing didn't work.
we've had one of those.
Yeah,
we've had a few of those.
I think there were a couple that made me feel sick. I don't know. But overall, it's a very good experience.
It's interesting. I definitely have enjoyed my experiences with drugs and alcohol, and I would never want my daughters to do any of them ever at all. I've said to them, please, please, please never take a pill that you don't know what it is. Never. And I talked to them the other day about Xanax because I was like,
when I was in rehab.
Fucking my shirt.
That's a real pisser.
Fucking shit.
When I was in rehab, for some reason, just my own little extracurricular activity, I just pulled out my little notebook and I was like, let me write down every drug and fucking what I don't like about it, you know?
Ooh, this is a fun game.
And I was like, fucking weed.
Okay, weed. Okay. Panic attacks, shortness of breath. The next day, trying to get on the treadmill. Those are my things I don't like.
They were very rare, but it was just like with the fucking slave to the munchies. It's just you feel
okay.
Gross.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah,
feel gross.
Where you just can't stop eating Skittles, and they have never tasted like this before.
Right, it's just like feel gross with all the fucking eating and weed also it made my appearance fucking shitty. Like I already have like really deep set eye sockets and so like I had like try to give me dark circles under my eyes when I was super high and I was always super high. So I was just like fuck man. So weed fucking fuck that. Like
go to the next
alcohol,
one.
Like
okay,
I mean,
next one,
obvious.
There's nothing wrong with alcohol.
Cocaine.
Okay. There's a lot wrong with cocaine.
I am just a really annoying. I mean I'm like I've a tendency to be annoying, like anyway, right? Like,
you do not.
I can imagine
you on cocaine on a flight is not enjoyable.
I am not fun. I'm not fun. But I mean, and they all kind of like have their own. Like, we don't even.
Well, hold
need
on,
to go
hold
through.
On, hold on. Let's start. I am
Xanax. I could not come up with anything.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I couldn't come up with anything except. The funny part is that one time I was, my sister called in a welfare check on me and like, and I'm fucking, I just happened to have taken like 5 bars of Xanax, which is like 25 pills or something. Right. And like, I was like, I don't even remember it. Like I woke up in the hospital. I had like firemen and cops, like come in on the welfare check and they like put me on a fucking stretcher and brought me into the hospital where I'm like, oh fuck man. Like whatever the fuck am I doing here, man? I was just fucking hanging out partying.
It's going to be a weird feeling to be as relaxed as you are on a Xanax and see, and wake up and see like a fireman and be like, hey man, how'd you get in here?
I know, and that I couldn't even come up with that as a con.
My only con with Xanax is for me is I can't take it. I like it doesn't allow my brain to perform the next day. I did one time I took a Xanax, I'd get done doing a show in Dayton, I got to drive and do Bob and Tom the next day, and I don't want to drink, so I got to get up early and drive. So I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna just take a Xanax. And I woke up the next day and I did Bob and Tom and I bombed because I just couldn't get my brain
Isn't
going.
Bob and Tom the one where they want you to do bits?
Yeah. Back in the day. Now you can just go and do it. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm at a different place in my career, but if I do it now, I'm definitely not writing down any bits.
Well, right now, but they want you to like take a bit from your act.
Oh, back then you wrote, but stand-up was different then in that you only did like, everyone only did 1 hour special and then you toured with that material also. So I would write down a fucking all my bits that I had and I'd give them to them. And my first time doing Bob and Tom was a really great experience. And then my next time was with the Xanax. I wrote down my bits and I just was not, and just everything. I had a joke about hitting a woman or something. And but the premise was like, The premise was like, you know why you should never hit a woman? And everyone was like, because you're not supposed to hit women. And it's better on stage because no one answers it.
Right.
But when you're saying to someone, like, do you know why you should never hit women? They go, yeah, you just don't hit women. And you're like, that's not where I wanted this to go. I have a punchline I'm sitting on. And so I forget what the fucking joke was.
A punchline.
Yeah, it was a great punchline. Yeah. I used to take big swings back then. That's a bad analogy for what I just said, but when I was young comic, I would take fucking aggressive stances on crazy topics and then defend
like
your way out of it. I loved it. You know, how many abortion jokes do you want? How does someone become an abortion doctor? Is there really someone in med school thinking, well, I want to work with kids, but I don't want all those lollipops around the office. And I want to meet chicks who fuck and know how to take care of their responsibilities, if you know what I mean, gentlemen. I had a lot of abortion jokes. Yeah, abortion, it's not murder, but it's not not murder. Dude, I could, but I used to love, that was like the fun, but when you're younger, you take those big chances. And you know, it's different for you because you showed up into this game famous. So like people knew you. So if you said, it was a crazy time because people were saying outrage. Like I remember roughly around when you were starting, Michael Richards had started, correct? Or no, that was
Richards had come and gone.
Yeah, come and gone. He was taking big swings like that on stage before then. And you'd be like, man, I don't think you know how to get your way out of that. Like, we were figuring it out, but we're figuring it out.
Michael Richards was the first video ever recorded on a cell phone.
I don't remember one before that. I'll tell you that much.
That was like a flip phone that was just trying out a video camera for the first time.
The problem was with that is it's just I don't want to pile on the guy. The guy's had enough bad. But you, there were, as a comic, there's a, you just know when you just know people that have said that word on stage. I've seen people say that word on stage and spin it so quickly, and it's brilliant, right?
Wow.
Like I've seen guys like Chappelle do things on stage where you go, "What the fuck?" And then he spins it. Or Mike Epps is a genius. Like, take something that you don't know where he's going. Cat Williams is fucking brilliant at that. Segura is one of my favorite, legit one of my favorite, where he says shit where you go, Segura has said shit on stage that we as comics tell each other and go, shut the fuck up. Like, it's, he's that good. I kind of veered away from it because I started doing Travel Channel and I had all these, you know, all these kind of eyes on what I was doing from the network and from advertisers and sponsors. And I kind of veered away from it. And I think I ended up finding my voice by doing Rogan and telling the Machine story and then telling stories and then going, like, what am I
Dude,
doing?
How many views is the Machine story on YouTube?
I have no idea.
I think it's like 70 or something. Yes, 70
it's,
million. Or
it's, it's got, we don't need to pull it up.
I need to know.
There's a bunch of different ones out there. The one on YouTube, that's got 36 million. The one on Facebook's
one.
Got like a ridiculous amount. Wow. And then there's one on Facebook that had 180 million.
Jesus.
Like, this guy ripped it and just put it up. And I was always like, they were like, we need to get him to take it down. I was like, the fuck we do? We're selling tickets, bitches. Like, I'm ready to fucking, I remember.
Where are you at with touring right now?
With touring?
Yeah.
Nothing for the next 6 months.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm not doing anything. I got a couple projects I'm working on.
Unless it's full capacity, fucking the king of tour buses.
Yeah,
full effect.
But you're killing it on so many levels that, like, I always say the biggest blessing you can be given as a comedian is to be a fan. Because if you're a fan of people, then you can always learn from people. I remember going into your house when you were doing your special, and you were like, hey, man, I just wanted to run this by you, run some ideas by you, see what you thought. And I remember sitting there going, I'm not calling anyone out. I love Tiffany Haddish, but a little of what Tiffany Haddish did in her special is what you were doing then. Is in her, the special that just won her a fucking Grammy was pulling up a video from and then referencing the video. It's like no one was doing it at the time. And you were such a guy that was like, no boundaries, no boxes. I just want to do what I want to do. And you were editing your everything yourself. You had your whole fucking system. And then shortly thereafter, you start your podcast, start your YouTube channel, and your YouTube starts blowing up. I'm sitting with the dog that I'm about to watch the video on, and I'm like, God damn it, man. If you can't respect the game, you can't play the game. And you got to fucking respect the game. And your podcast is now one of the top 10 podcasts in the country in comedy. It's like best fucking, your YouTube views are through the fucking roof. I did it like episode 2. It was Tony Hawk then me. And
dude,
you were like,
and now let me stress, because you're the only podcast that I've put up that has passed 1 million views on YouTube.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you are the king of my podcast.
Oh, I wouldn't mind doing a second episode, man.
Dude, I love it. I absolutely fucking love it.
No, but you're...
Thank you. Dude, you know what happened with that fucking comedy? Because I felt I was just so onto something. I had, like... It started with me getting the rocket engine fuel burns. I was like, oh, this would be great because it... Well, actually, it started with me when I put together the hour. And I thought, you know what? As I'm putting together this hour, I'm realizing that the stories I'm telling... Like, you know, one way or another, like, happened on camera, like, where there's evidence of the stories. So when my head exploded, I'm like, wow, what if I made the fucking special? Like, I'm telling the stories on stage, I'm doing the stand up, but interstitially cut into the stories is footage illustrating the stories. So you've got all the jokes, you've got all the fucking storytelling, and you've got the actual visual accompaniment of, like, proving that, because most comedians, they're not telling true stories, you know, like, and not only are my stories fucking true, but there's footage and it's cut in. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So then I started thinking, well, I don't want it to all be memory lane, you know, like living in the past is depressing. So now I want to film new bits and let an old bit inspire a new bit and then like keep it like really freshen it up and fucking make it explosive. And I'm going to film. So I decided I'm going to blow up my living room. And then I keep doing these stunts with explosives in my
living
room.
Is that the one I saw where there's fucking smoke pouring out of your house and your chick's like, don't worry, I got it.
Yeah, 100%. And so, like, I keep doing these explosion stunts in the living room, but, like, I'm getting away with it. I'm not even getting fucking hurt. And I'm like, all right, well, this is, I see this as the closer for this.
My asshole's on fire right now.
I see this as the closer. Like, something's got to happen. So I keep pushing the boundaries, pushing until now I'm fucking laying in a bed of rocket engine fuel on the ground, and my buddies light it with me laying in it, and I ended up having skin grafts on 15% of my body, and I'm like, wow, now that's a fucking closer. You know? That's a closer. So I had the closer, and I'm like, dude, I'm onto something. I'm getting jazzed. I'm like, fuck, I got the most epic closer that there's ever been for a fucking comedy special, and like, it's all exclusive. It's under lock and key. And so then I'm thinking, okay, where am I going to shoot the special? Because I've got an idea for the opening sequence. You know, like a lot of times the opening sequence, you see the comedian go to the theater. I'm like, dude, I'm going to get the entire cast of Jackass together for the first time that we've all been together since we lost Ryan Dunn. And I'm gonna have a fucking billboard truck, like it goes through Vegas, and we're going to fucking duct tape. The whole cast of Jackass will duct tape me to the billboard truck and then do awful things to me. And then set me up, and we're going to drive this fucking truck down the highway.
And your brain says, I'm not going to cheat it, start it in L.A., and then just go meet it in Vegas and do it. You're like,
we went all the way to Vegas in the first day.
The whole fucking... Yeah. I remember when you showed that to me, and I went, you did the whole ride? I go, you didn't need to. And you go, yeah, I did.
Well, yeah, I did. We went all the way to Vegas in one day, and obviously we were never going to make it through LA traffic without getting shut down.
Yeah.
So what we did was we built a fucking, like, kind of like a coffin-esque looking box and mounted it over me. So I was very much duct taped to the side of the truck, but there was just a box screwed to the thing. We'd go to Barstow and then take off the box and we'd fucking let it ride down the highway.
Dude.
But I taped the special in Denver. So like the next month we went to fucking flew to Colorado and picked up the back half so yeah. We could be through the mountains with all the snow. And I'm like, oh my God. And the symbolism, like that, it was so symbolic where like I've really in earnest, like fucking devoted myself to this craft of comedy, and I'm doing it my own way. It's authentic. You know, I'm fucking doing the whole thing. And now I've got the Jackass guys like symbolically taping me to the truck and sending me off into my, like onto my, like I got goosebumps, dude, you know, like Knoxville's hitting baseballs at me. It's like they're signing off on it, you know, and they send me off down the highway. And I'm like, dude, what I've got is so amazing. I've got to make it as good as I can. So I did. I brought comedians over to the house. Like, hey, man, can I get notes on this? Can I?
Yeah.
And your reaction was like, it meant the world to me. You were like, dude, this is fucking, you're like, this is something special.
You have a story in that special that you had video for that I think of once a month. I think
the international drug smuggling. So I got arrested for international drug smuggling while I was out on bail facing 8 years in prison.
And it was because you swallowed the marijuana and it got stuck.
And it was too big.
It
was too big. It got stuck in my throat, dude. I stand by that. I think that, and
by, it's, the, by the way, it is such a good, it's like a, like when I love a good story, but that story has, it's got laughs, but it's got like you going, it's one of those stories where you go, where if I take vitamins and they go down the wrong way, I think of that story. And I go, oh, remember the time Steve-O got a fucking ounce of weed stuck in his throat?
Yeah, less than a quarter, but
it was just one real big bud. But
right, I didn't even take the five. I was so fucked up on coke and everything at the time I swallowed that I didn't even break the fucking buds off the stems. Dude, I was out of my mind.
How did that get out again? Don't ruin the story if you haven't put it out. Save it. Because it's a good, like...
It's in the special. That is the crown jewel of that special. And dude, by the time I got... I believed in this so much. I was like, dude, I'm going to fund shooting the special myself.
Yeah.
You know? And just that one night was like, what, like a fucking 175 grand or something. Like, then I put it up. I was like, I'm all in. I'm fucking... with all of the bits, like flying in the Jackass guys, renting the billboards, the whole thing, like all of the you know, the vignettes, the for the new footage.
Yeah.
By the time I got done producing this thing, I had invested $300,000 of my own money in it. And I'm like, okay, dude, fucking, I've got it. This is the most amazing thing. It's the first multimedia comedy special ever. It's the first Jackass reunion ever. It's like, this is fucking... And so I take it out to all the buyers, and they all fuck. I mean, like any like basic cable or like whatever. Like, there's a lot of there's a lot of nudity.
There's a lot of places that's not gonna
work. A lot of places, but any place that it would work, it was either too full of nudity and criminal behavior and like explicit shit to live. It was either too fucked up to live anywhere, but the places that it could live, like, weren't willing to get into the business of Steve-O stand-up comedy. They were like, you know, we only want prestigious stand-up comedians, and they just overlooked
prestigious. Have you seen our acts? Like, our what we do is fucking silly,
right?
And there's no prestige. I mean,
understood.
Dave Chappelle is doing.
They didn't want a crossover guy. They viewed me as the jackass guy crossing over into stand-up.
You're
comedy.
Past crossing over. You've been doing stand-up for what?
I've been touring my ass off for well over a decade now.
Yeah. I was talking to Jeremy Piven about this the other day. I was
dude,
like,
he's respected, man. I yeah. introduced him the other night. I was doing this outdoor show in Hollywood, and I was like, yeah, I'm good to bring him up. And I was like, you know, I was like, hey, this next guy, when he started doing stand-up comedy, I was just really curious, and I looked it up. And, like, every review of his comedy came in favorably. Like, yep. The guy's earned respect as a stand-up, and fucking I'm happy to introduce him, fucking Jeremy Piven.
He's a great guy. I mean, I did a podcast with him the other, like, I don't know when I did it or when this is coming out versus if you haven't seen it. I don't know when it's coming out. But, you can't – and it's a very natural instinct for comics to begrudge people getting into our industry. Same thing happens with chefs. When all of a sudden celebrities become like they
DJs,
they attack Christy Teigen. I mean, by the way, I'm
dude,
not.
Someone just told me it's Christy Teigen. How do you fucking pronounce it?
Oh my!
I don't know. How do you fucking? Like,
oh,
and dude, I love her because she follows me on Twitter. We follow each other on Twitter.
I think she just deleted her Twitter, FYI, giving you a heads up. What the fuck is sticking me with this thing? How do I get this thing out? Christy, how do you get
Chrissy Teigen? Chrissy Teigen.
Okay, Teigen.
Oh, it's Chrissy. It's Chrissy. She is, by the way, she is absolutely gorgeous. And can I tell you, I kind of slept on that. Like, I just, the first few times, I was like, yeah, she's pretty, whatever, whatever. And then I saw a picture of her with, like, I think she was with Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, Whitney's, I was with Whitney the other night.
I was like,
Whitney's great,
God.
Man.
Yeah, Whitney, I mean, whatever. Take it or leave it, but
right. Okay,
I mean, if you're into female comedians,
so dude, I'm $300,000 into this thing. The fucking Netflix doesn't want it. Fucking HBO doesn't want it. Showtime doesn't want it.
Well, I would push pause on all your sales and wait till the new Jackass movie comes out.
Well, no, but here's what I did. I was like, I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
The very first move I made was to double down. And
love your brain.
The very first move I made was to double down because I already knew what my follow-up to this was going to be, what my next tour was going to be. And I said, for my next tour, there will be no memory lane. It will be all new material, and it will be all structured around completely brand new stunts, which are so fucked up that they can never even be a part of Jackass to begin with. Yeah. I'm not going to edit it in after the fact. I'm going to bring the footage on tour with me. So it's my bucket list tour, and the bucket list is just the bottom of the barrel stunts that were never supposed to happen for a lot of really good fucking reasons, because they shouldn't have fucking happened. But I went ahead and did them anyway, and then I made I took off 8 months of touring after I taped that first special, the multimedia special.
Yeah.
And I just shot the new bits and I built the stand up around it. So now the new act is I tell the bit of the most absurd stunts you've ever fucking heard of in your life.
Steve, you've done things I didn't know were possible.
Yeah. And then after each bit, then I screen them. So now you just heard this hilarious stand up story. And then now I'm going to present what
that's super fun.
And I bring it on the tour with me. And I was like, you know what? They don't want them to fucking, then fucking, I'm already shooting the next one. And then it was during the pandemic that I figured it out. I said, I'm going to put this out on my own website. You know, like, it's just too, you know, like, and that was when I got duct taped to the billboard in Hollywood.
I remember that was like trending and they're like, Steve-O. And I was like, yeah. Oh, fuck.
I was fucking, and dude, I couldn't believe I didn't get arrested for that.
Yeah, no shit. What billboard were you on?
Dude, I chose the one with you can see the Hollywood sign right behind
it. Can you pull it up?
Yeah, but dude, like, I fucking got my money back. I fucking did actually really well with that.
Really?
With my own fucking straight to fucking.
You've always been able to do well with
direct
that,
to consumer, dude. And
you're honestly, like the MC Hammer of fucking. Oh, is that Steve-O gnarly? Oh, that's fucking
yeah, dude.
Great.
And dude, everybody listening to this, please go to steveo.com. You have to click to confirm that you're 18 years or older to even watch the trailer because it's so fucked up. And dude, just check out the trailer. Fucking think about if you want to watch this or not. I guarantee you will not be fucking disappointed.
Oh, I guarantee it. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, because you
I've seen it. I've seen it. Yeah, I guarantee it.
You go to steveo.com and you fucking watch my gnarly comedy special because fuck everybody who fucking missed the boat on that. And now you know what's going to happen because I doubled down when I have my bucket list comedy special, which I will do the same exact fucking thing with. Now I think I will have proven my fucking point, and I will actually have proven what this fucking bucket list special is worth.
Yeah,
and then, so and now, like, and if I wanted to, I could put it out when Jackass comes out. But dude, the bucket list tour has so much legs left that it would be like it would be a disservice to myself to shoot that special before I properly fucking tour the world with it.
When's the Jackass movie come out? Do you know?
Scheduled for September.
This September?
This September.
Wait, when did you finish?
I don't know if I should say this, but
then don't. That's the way my brain's been working lately.
Right,
I go,
yeah.
I have an idea. Maybe I shouldn't. You know what I did? I did. I took Twitter off my phone.
I know I'm going to promote it. I'll tell you this. I know how when they because the elephant in the room is our age. You know, the guys were fucking like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like one of the few who hasn't turned 50 yet.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Knoxville just turned 50.
He's like
Dave England turned 50 a while ago. Preston Lacey turned 50 like.
Cole's Pontius.
Same age as me by month.
Okay.
And we're both 46.
God.
I'm June. He's July. And we're the same age. Okay, so the elephant in the room is you guys are either pushing 50 or over 50.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And what's it like filming a Jackass movie when you're this old?
Yeah.
And I figured out the answer. It's just about exactly the same as it ever was. All the chemistry is there, except our bones break a lot easier. And
I don't stop.
And
oh, Steve-O, please don't do this.
And it takes way less to knock us completely unconscious. Plus, it takes a lot longer for us to wake up. So this movie fucking kicks ass. You know, and I got the scars to prove it, dude. All kinds of new hardware in my collarbone.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Did you break your collarbone?
Oh, dude.
Honestly?
Not for the first time, but boy, did I break it this time. Yeah, and so I got this bitchin' fucking hardware in there. I love my hardware, dude. So after a year, you get it out, and you get it mounted in the same exact fucking position on, like, a replica model of the bones. I'm working on a fucking whole skeleton, dude.
We are so different.
Yeah. Oh man, I just really stand by what we did, man. It's fucking.
Did you guys see Tom's dunk video?
With the short hoop.
No, where he blew out his knee and broke his arm.
Oh shit!
Yeah, he could have been a great member.
I saw all kinds of shit on Instagram about that.
Yeah, he was.
What was up with the Christina and all the tattoos and shit and like?
Yeah,
the,
right. When she upgraded herself. That was they did a live show. We've done a couple Two Bears, and your mom's house does live shows, and she went into a makeup artist who went and did all the shit to her and gave her tits and lips and tats and personality. This is so crazy. The biggest transformation I've seen. Can you pull up your YMH? Do the YMH Instagram.
It's unbelievable.
Your own Instagram. Go to your own Instagram. And then look at Tom in this picture. He looks absolutely dapper. Scroll down. Where's the picture of Tom and Christina?
Yeah, I think I saw this.
Tom and Christina together where he's in the suit. It was on your mom's house. It's on YMH Studios. No, it's not. I don't think it's on Tom's. I swear to God, I think it's on YMH. Oh, yeah. No, it's what you're right. Yeah. You're right. I'm wrong. Look at him in this fucking picture.
Yeah.
I mean, if this isn't a bloated Jason Statham, I mean, the two of them together, he looks so good. And that's his good hand he's flicking off. This motherfucker is such a liar. He texts me and he's like, he pulls me a video. He goes, I want to show you something. And he's playing the piano. And I go, oh my God, you're playing the piano? He's like, yeah, I thought I'd learn. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. So when did he break his body? In November?
December.
It's been, what, almost 5 months now? I realized today the doctor made him take piano lessons so he could learn how to use his fingers again.
Oh, wow.
He didn't want to learn how to play the piano like some highfalutin fucking European.
Did he learn? Like, I thought you were going to tell me like he became like proficient and impressive.
No, he's just learning how to go dunk, 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 dunk. Because he's got like his baby hand, the one I reset for him.
Dude, I'm so jealous of the fucking the viewership on YouTube that this Two Bears in One Cave gets. I mean, you guys are clocking like a fucking million views like in 24 hours.
Yeah, but it's all white men. No one wants them these days.
I mean, dude, when I saw the email, and I wish I would have kissed your ass sooner in this podcast.
Steve-O, by the way, come back and co-host when Tom's here. I'm going to be gone.
I love it. When I saw the request to co-host Two Bears, One Cave, I was like, oh, my fucking God. Like this, because I've seen the numbers that this podcast does.
This one's going to go through the fucking roof. We're showing dicks with a pretty please up front within the first 7 minutes. We've solved Me Too culture by saying all guys need to do is go, would you like to see my dick? She goes, yeah, girl, I need you to say please. Can I please see your dick? And then you go, Your Honor, she said she please wanted to see my dick.
Right. Yeah, it's like the vampire. They have to be invited.
Yeah, yeah. It's like consent to the next level.
Right.
I consent to consenting.
Right.
This one's going to be through the fucking roof.
Dude, I don't want to say like I'm jealous, but yeah, I'm just fucking impressed by like,
dude,
you know, especially if you put Two Bears, One Cave next to fucking Birdcast. Like it's crazy. You know, like the sum of the parts is
Birdcast isn't as good as Two Bears, One Cave. I'll tell you that. I've been on a lot of Birdcasts.
Dude, you guys don't even need guests. Can you imagine? You don't even need guests. Like all of the anxiety, the stress of having to book that fucking epic guest. Like you don't even have to deal with it.
It's tough. And you know that by your podcast is you get and you've gotten great guests.
Dude, can I brag about who we just did?
Please.
Mark Cuban. First question I asked him, how the fuck did we get you? What are you doing?
How did you get him?
Like, he said he was a fan.
What pictures do you have?
He said he's a huge fan. I'm like,
for
fuck,
real?
Dude. Yeah, dude. It was.
You know, I actually.
I've never prepared more for a podcast than Mark Cuban. Really? And like, because my dad was so impressed that we got him. And I knew my dad. I was like, this is not like. That what you're talking about. I want to impress my father. I want to like. I was performing for an audience of one.
You're like my dad will watch this and go. My son's legit.
Right, but like that's the he's thing, with. Dave. And I couldn't wait. Like I couldn't wait. So before the podcast went up, yeah, and it's still not up. So, but now it will be. But I couldn't wait. So we fucking. Put it together. We uploaded the fucking thing. No ads. No nothing. And to dad, I couldn't wait. You have to see this. You know, I've been.
Oh, and then the whole time Mark Cuban's like, Steve, that one time that you put a funnel in your asshole, I'm like, hey, can we not talk about that? Our viewers don't like listening to that shit. Can you talk about my business acumen? I mean, I invested $300,000. I cleared $1.3 million. Can we talk about those numbers, Mark?
I wasn't even tripping, dude. I wasn't, but yeah, then my dad saw it. He called me up and he's like, yeah. And he acknowledged that it was. Fucking awesome.
It was fucking amazing.
It was fucking
Mark
awesome.
Cuban?
But he also had like all this great feedback and notes and like he just can't even it's my dad. He can't even like stop to
I don't
like,
know what I'd ask Mark Cuban. My first question would go, are you actually Cuban?
Not like
Because if I'm getting a no here, then I'm going to have to call you on some social justice shit. That's called cultural appropriation.
I like that. I like that.
I'm a bad interviewer. And like I like this. Yeah. But like also I think it's better when I know someone. And that's why I've only kind of done comics. Because I know you and I'm a fan of yours. I have a million things I could talk to you about. I don't need to prepare anything. We have a bunch of stuff up there from the last podcast that I did nothing prepared for this going, oh, I know exactly what I want to talk to Steve-O about. I don't need to prepare
right.
it at all.
Right. I mean, for the most part, I don't. And it works great.
Your podcast is awesome, man.
Well, thank you.
Your podcast is legit awesome. The one you did with Pontius, and I keep going back to Chris Pontius, because I really do think that guy...
He's a genius,
He's
an absolute genius, and I'm going to tell him as soon as we fucking finish this that he has been dubbed the Rosa Parks of homophobia.
FaceTime him. I doubt he has an iPhone. For something about me goes... Chris Pontius still has a flip phone, or
he does,
or he just talks on OnStar. Like there's like something interesting about that guy. Do you think? Here's the question I always wonder.
We could do a podcast every week, you and I think.
This has been effortless at an hour 21. My normal co-host is a fucking bore. I have to interrupt him.
Dad, did in your cell phone when you put in famous people, are you like scared to put their real name?
Well, that's so interesting. I put in regular people as famous people. So when my phone rings and it's my buddy Bill, it comes up Tom Cruise.
No, nice.
People are like, Tom Cruise is calling you right now. And I'm like, what do you put? Mr. P. is...
By the way, I never expected him to pick this up. Yeah. Not that
he seems like a guy. Can I tell you what I think Chris Pontius is doing? He is... loading his surfboard into the back of a truck, trying not to hit his guitar, and there's a fucking dime in a bikini who just lit a joint. It's like, Chris, we should get fish tacos. And he's like, sure thing. Like, I have ideas of, like, what guys' lives are like. Like,
yeah.
Knoxville is an interesting guy. Like, I say this to the people that don't know, but...
Have you had Knoxville on?
No.
And you're old buddies.
No, I wouldn't say buddies, but I met Johnny Knoxville in 1997 at Florida State. He and another guy, I'd love to know who the other guy he was with was. Can you call Johnny Knoxville? You think he'd answer?
More likely.
What if he's in a suit and a tie? He's like, oh, I gotta, I'm not brand friendly. Hold on. And he messes his hair up.
Do we want to try FaceTime?
Always FaceTime. Yeah, okay. I only FaceTime people. I would...
Can I brag about how we were... Oh, I shouldn't. How much editing goes into your podcast?
Zero. Oh. My podcast, zero. Like, if you ever want to take something out, we can always take something out.
No, I'm not trying, but yeah. I'm just wondering, like just little nips and tucks. Like,
no, I think people will start to get endeared to that...
Yeah, I struck out with Knoxville too.
You have him as piggy bank? No, we should probably wrap up. I got to take a shit.
Right. Yeah, I'm
this
sure,
has
like
been an
a,
amazing podcast.
Dude,
man.
We could do it every week.
I'd fucking do it.
I would love to have. And dude, how about you? You were my second podcast right after Tony Hawk. You were in the van before the fucking coronavirus thing.
Oh, it was before even, coronavirus.
It was before it even popped off. Like,
I was hungover and I was sweating and I
you
was.
You had just
fat.
Come from the airplane.
Well, I was drunk. I wasn't hungover. I was drunk.
It was like, and people are like, dude, this is my favorite one. Like, it's just so conversational. It's just so like.
Well,
so
we're keeping
fun.
A trend going because this is going to be a lot of people's favorite one when Tom isn't here. Like, this is going to be probably their favorite co-host they've had because this is, I mean, we broke barriers.
We solved a lot of problems.
Hey, congrats on everything. Congrats on
Thank
the movie.
You, man.
Congrats on the podcast.
Dude,
the special. Can
I will brag about this.
Shoot.
You've done Hot Ones.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, like, the most viewed interview of you? Like,
I think so.
Yeah.
More than Letterman. More than,
right.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I think mine has passed, like, 30 million views.
Oh, yours? Yours and, like, there were some that were epic. But mine was, like, early Hot Ones when right. It was just
okay.
hip-hop guys.
I'm just throwing this out there. Tomorrow, I'm filming my second Hot Ones.
Are you really?
they want me on again.
Shut the
I don't
fuck
know
up.
If I have to know if anybody's done it twice.
I think some people see if anyone's done Hot Wings twice.
Yeah, has anyone?
No, I don't think anyone's
I
ever
mean,
done
dude,
Hot Wings
if,
twice.
If I have that, dude, I'm I was killing myself, fucking kicking myself. How I fucking did hot ones before I had my own brand of hot sauce. And now, that's
right. I have you done your hot sauce.
Oh, dude, I remember you were like fucking.
Is that any what's the worst? Type in has. I can just call Sean Evans.
See if he'll pick up.
By the way, aggressive FaceTime, always. Sean Evans has a new number, apparently.
Oh, shit, dude.
Either that or we're about to FaceTime someone who's not the Sean Evans I think it is.
Bert, I think you and Tom both did it twice.
I did it twice?
No way. God, I'm about to find out that so. I'm not that big of a deal.
I only did it once. Yeah, that's me.
You want to know what the worst part?
Wow, we're really drawing fucking blanks on FaceTimes these days. What the fuck? Sean Evans.
Hey, dude, what's up?
Hey, I'm on a podcast, Two Bears, One Cave. I got Steve-O here.
Yo.
Hey,
yeah.
We're asking, has anyone ever done hot ones twice?
Well, during this quarantine, Tom did it twice. You did it twice.
Oh, I did.
What?
I did.
You asshole!
I did do it twice.
No!
I forgot.
No! You're
right. I forgot. I thought you were talking about the TV show. I did the TV show also. You're right. I did do it on Zoom. I fucking forgot about that. I was thinking about the TV show. When you said twice, I went...
I went from the coolest dude to fucking not that big of a deal.
You look good.
And Bert Kreischer's stock just went through the roof.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Dude, I love it, man.
All right, brother. Everyone, check out Hot Ones. Sean Evans, you're a god.
Dude,
I love you, brother.
Dad, fucking epic.
All right, peace.
Yeah.
See, yes, I have done it twice.
Now we need to talk about how on fire you really are.
No. When he said I'd done it twice, I knew that I did the TV show. I did. They have a TV show on True TV or on something like that. And I did that. And I thought when you said, Bert, you did it twice, I was like, no. And then I forgot.
How do you forget that you sat down and ate hot ones?
Because ultimately I've done it four times. So we did.
I'm mortified.
Tom and I did one with him. I get confused.
Do you know how much of the fiber of my being is crying out to say, edit out this part? But I can't do that.
No, Tom and I did one with him together, Truth or Dab, right? And then we did, and then I did Hot Ones, and then I did Hot Ones for the TV show, and then I did do a fucking...
I'm just going to take this on the chin, dude. Leave it in. Because that's the kind of guy I am, dude.
Leave it in, dude.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
In all fairness, and Sean Evans will tell you this, I was like the first person way back in the day to get in on Hot Ones and start retweeting it very early when he was just doing Athletes and Hip Hop Stars. Like, I was like, this shit's awesome. He will say this. I wasn't even a celebrity then. I'm not one now. But the celebrity to like start co-signing on the show. And I started hitting him up, like, when are you going to have comics on? And then he texted me one day and he's like, dude, they're letting us have comics on. I got to get you on. I was like, done. And by the way, I didn't deserve to be on the show at that time. I really didn't. And the first person I said was, you got to get Tom Segura on. I said, you got to get Joey Diaz on. You got to get Bill Burr on. I went through the list of all the guys. I was like, you got to get these comics on. And they started murdering it.
The caliber of guests on that show is insane.
Well, with comics, I definitely was like leaning towards Sean. Like, there are certain guys that like Joey Diaz, Bill Burr. I think, has Bill Burr done it?
I think he has.
Yes. Yeah, I think he has. And I remember kept going like, you got to get Rogan on. And then Burr did it. And so, but then all of a sudden, like by the time he started having these guys, it was like when you did it was like next. Because you're next level.
I think I was season two.
Let's see. Go to Hot Ones page. I'm curious. Shot Ones. By the way, why hasn't that been done?
That's drunk history.
Shot ones is look who the fuck he's got on now. He had President Trump on. Paris Hilton. Oh, these are all Kevin James, Dustin Poirier. Oh my God. I mean, this is insane. This show's so much bigger than.
It's crazy, dude.
It's so big.
It is fucking crazy.
Tacos con todos.
Dude, the king of hot ones was Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, I still make scrambled eggs that way. He, at the end of it, he said, I would love you to show me how to make, oh my God, 84 million. Go buy views on this one. Who's the highest? Look at this. 84 million, 42 million, 28 million, 28 million, 28 million. Keep going. Hit that little arrow. 28 million. Fucking 24 million.
Fuck, man.
Key and Peele, 23 million. Where's Bert at? About to be like fucking what? At least 6 million?
Doesn't look like you're in this section.
Oh, I was not even in this section. I don't know.
Hall of Fame. Oh, that breaks my heart. Kevin Hart. Not even remotely Hall of Famer. By the way, I don't deserve to be, in all honesty. I'm not as good as these guys.
Yeah, but dude, fucking, let's talk about the cabin, dude.
Cabin was pretty legit.
How did that fucking change the landscape of your life and your career?
It did. It changed it a lot. I think a lot of people that watched it were people in different jobs in the business who were like, hey, man, would you like to try this? And I was like, a bunch of shit I got that I've always wanted to try showed
like,
up.
It was just like prime real estate in the media landscape. And it framed you as the ringleader of the biggest comics.
Well, I got really lucky in that all my friends said yes. And so I got all these great, great comics to do it. I mean, there's some that like fell out at like day of, 2 days of, which I would love to have had.
Yeah, I was a little bit hurt that I was. Well,
I submitted a list. You should have seen the list. You know what we did? We did. I'm going to send this to you. Hold on. I'm going to send this to you. We shot this thing because I had a huge list of who I wanted on. And then Netflix obviously whittled it down to who. Like, it was certain people that Netflix wanted to have on where you were like, yeah, I love that person, of course. And they're like, oh, they got a project or whatever. So I had a big list of who I wanted. And they're like, you're not going to get any of these people. I said, can you just give me a shot? And they're like, and by the way, you can play this on the show. Throw your headsets on. So they go, they said, I said, there was a big list of people I wanted to get on. I'm not even joking. I did say I wanted to get all the Jackass guys on. And they were like, yeah, great. A lot of people's agents just turned it down immediately because they were like, I don't know who Bert is. I don't know what this show is. This show has no script. It has no parameters. It seems like super dangerous. And so they said, we're not going to get any of these people. I said, can you just give me an opportunity?
You could just hit me up direct.
I can't do that. I wasn't allowed to do that to anyone. I had to send a video to agents, managers, everyone attached. And so I made this video. I made them specifically for my friends or people I wanted. So go ahead and play this one and then play the next one.
No, I absolutely love it, guys. I think it's a brilliant idea. Now we need an A-lister.
Hey, my name's Bert Kreischer. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I have a new series on Netflix called The Cabin. And you're getting this message because, quite honestly, I am a huge fan of yours.
Donnie and or Mark Wahlberg.
Now, I know you already want to pass. I understand that. I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't pass. A, it shoots in Malibu. Really easy, right? B, we only need you for half a day. So you're in and out of there. C, it's super light lifting. Now, if you're still on the fence, let me tell you a little bit about me.
Well, please welcome Bert Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer.
Athlete.
Okay,
resting heart rate of 40.
We did 150 of those, and we put every celebrity's names in voice drop. So play the next one. The next one's identical, except it says.
So you shot it 150 times?
I shot it once, and then we just airdropped everyone's name in. So do it again. So this
is. I absolutely love it, guys. I think it's a brilliant idea. Now we need an A-lister.
Hey, my name's Bert Kreischer. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I have a new series on Netflix called The Cabin. And you're getting this message because, quite honestly, I am a huge fan of yours.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Now, I know you already want to pass. I understand that.
Cut it out. So we did. So we put like 150 celebrities.
You're not allowed to call him Snoop Doggy Dog. It's got to be Snoop Dogg because there was ownership of that name tied up with Shook Knight.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
I just call him my friend. So we sent out a ton of those. And what is really hilarious is, obviously, it's meant to be a joke. We'd hope that someone would get it and be like, all right, this guy's got a sense of humor. And then my reel plays after that, or like a version of my reel played after that to let them know who I was. And then, but people that called back were like Dustin Hoffman, like, kid's a guy, legit fan of mine, you know? I'll hear him out. And we're like, no, that's not what we're looking for. Actually, Dustin Hoffman is not the real person I'm using. I'm doing that to save the person that, but like there were a couple of people that were like, the guy sent me a personalized video. I mean, I think they're right. And we were like, I don't think you're right for the show.
Yeah.
But I would have loved. I literally said I want the whole crew of Jackass, and I was like, bring them up. We'll do. I go, you know how crazy it would be, and I'm certain they reached out, and agents just passed. Agents passed a lot because they were like, we had no frame of reference for what the show was.
I guarantee. Well, I don't even have an agent except for my touring guy. I guarantee you, like every fucking offer, no matter how shitty it is, I get an email that says, is it okay to pass on this?
Oh, I don't.
And I get a kick out of it because like sometimes like I'll be like, it's such a pass. I'll be like, wow, that's such a pass. Thank you. That really like
right now. Oh, I've gotten projects. The people come up to me. And
why do I say that? Now, like, that's like confirming that I fucking.
Dude, there's a lot of things that come your way that you go, it's just not right for me. I'm
right,
sorry.
That's true.
And I don't get a lot of the projects come my way because I don't mean this disrespectfully, but like, unless I know the dude where I'm like Greg Garcia, if he wanted to do a project with me, I'd drop everything.
Do you have any
two
tattoos?
Megans and a Glenn I would work with in a heartbeat. There's like.
Do you have tattoos?
No, I have none.
Wow, it's epic.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? But like, there's a lot of people that I'd want to work with, and I think everyone in my team knows who I'm really excited about. And I really just want to do my stuff. I want to do my stuff. I want to write it, produce it, have someone direct it or whatever. But like, I just want to do me. Because and The Cabin's a perfect example of that. And I think a lot of people in our business are doing that right now. They're like, I just want to do my shit, and I don't want to do other people's shit. And The Cabin was a, like, we were saying, people would respond.
I just want to do my shit and have everybody else do my shit. I don't want to do anybody else's shit.
I don't want to play what people think Bert is. Like, I want to play Bert.
I want to be the bandwagon.
I want to ride my own coattails. I just want to ride Tommy's coattails for as long as I fucking can. Fucking. Yeah. Well, listen, we should probably wrap this up. I'm supposed to take my daughter's camping.
Cool, man.
And I'm going to get fucking lit tonight.
Do you have an RV?
No. We got a campsite up in, I guess I can say this, we'll already be done with it. Or we'll have been murdered up there in Oxnard. We're going up to Oxnard and going camping for the weekend.
Dude, I love my RV, dude.
Oh, yeah.
The RV that we did
podcast.
You got
the great one. Yeah.
The Wild Ride. It is my podcast studio, my tattoo parlor, which is why I asked if you have tattoos.
Oh, no.
I'm giving epic tattoos now.
And, you're giving them?
Yeah. It's it's my fucking movie trailer. It's my surfing fucking adventure mobile.
I'm gonna start surfing.
Dude, not only am I giving tattoos, like it is fucking shocking how well I'm doing. I gave all of these with the reference of
holy shit. Yeah. Who'd you give that to?
My buddy Tommy gave that to skateboard legend Andy Roy.
I love Andy Roy.
Gave that to Post Malone.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you should show these to the camera. Sorry.
I got to show it. I'll pick it up from here. No, I'm showing you.
Yeah. You gave that to Tekashi
6ix9ine? In the midst of his snitching trial, I gave a portrait of Tekashi 6ix9ine to a fucking kid from BAM's rehab.
Wow, that kid makes a lot of regrettable decisions.
That's what I think. Now we're getting to the cream of the crop, dude. The best, the best. Look at the fucking detail on Jesus riding a dinosaur.
That's you're actually not that bad.
Look at this. Oh yeah, I gave that to my homie Scott, and then now did the crown jewel. Look at that.
Just show that one to the camera. That's a legit one right there.
I did that. Oh whoops.
Can I tell you? I could really get into tattoo removal. That looks so methodically hypnotizing. Like just that, like you're mowing the grass, but from God. Like if God was mowing lawns, that's what it would look like. Well, I can't wait for the new Jackass movie. Thank you for doing this. You are an epic, epic co-host. I'm talking, you know what we should do? Hall of Fame of co-hosts. Hall of Fame of co-hosts. Put it down, guys. We want your top five, and I know what your number one is.
It's going to be based on views, right? Isn't that what the Hall of Fame is?
Yeah, I just hope that you beat Leanne. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that Leanne's got more views on her co-hosting than I do. Like, the majority of mine don't hold a candle to fucking Leanne's. One time she comes in and razzle-dazzles with her hair, her snake oil redneck medicine. Wow. I love my wife.
Well, I love you, dude. Thank you,
I love
brother.
You too, brother. Thank you.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes to topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call